This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. After canceling the March primary, state officials in Ohio extended mail-in voting until next Tuesday, April 28th. So today we're going to have a conversation about how voters are adjusting to the mail-in process. And I believe we are joined live on the line by Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Secretary LaRose, are you there?
I am, Michael. Thank you so much for the chance to share some information with your voters or with your listeners about how they can be voters in Ohio's primary election.
Well, we're glad you took the time to come back on the show. It's always great to have you talking about these issues, and we want to make sure voters do understand what's going on. Let me start with what I hope is an easy question. How are you and your family doing during this pandemic?
Well, thanks for the question. You know, we're doing well, adjusting to the new normal like so many Ohioans are, and so many folks really all around the country and the world. We're working to educate our children from home and making sure that our team here at the Secretary of State's office is able to continue doing their work. The vast majority of them are working remotely, and we're getting the job done for Ohioans, but still staying safe.
Well, we are seeing a lot of disruptions to what we would have called normal society, from the way we buy things, the way we socialize, the way we have cocktails with neighbors in the evening, and now, of course, by the way we vote. So take us back to March 17th. This was sort of a whirlwind day. People were expecting to vote right up until the last minute when this was canceled. Did you feel relief that ultimately it was determined that it would be best to postpone the primary election till next week?
You know, relief may not be the right answer. It was definitely a difficult decision. Listen, Ohio was ready to conduct an in-person election on March 17th. We had been very intentional all along about listening to the experts. I don't have an MD after my name. I'm not a public health professional. And so we listened to the experts. Our mantra had been facts, not fear. We're going to listen to our public health professionals, whether that's from the Ohio Department of Health, Dr. Amy Acton, or whether it's from the Centers for Disease Control. And really, leading up the week before when Ohio was scheduled to have a primary election in person, we had taken some really aggressive steps to make sure that we were ready. We had recruited and trained over 3,000 new poll workers, really just an outpouring of people that were interested in helping. We'd moved over 150 polling locations away from senior residential facilities to protect that vulnerable population. We had fielded thousands and thousands of pieces of equipment to voting locations to make sure that we could provide hand sanitizer and wipe down machines. And we've been on a conference call really every day with the Ohio Department of Health, and their guidance had been that it would be safe to move forward. That guidance changed dramatically between Sunday, March 15th and Monday, March 16th. And on the morning of March 16th, I received a call from the governor and the lieutenant governor, as well as Ohio Department of Health Director Dr. Amy Acton. And basically what they were saying is that because of some new science, really staggering fatality numbers that had come particularly out of Europe at that time, and due to changing CDC guidance, that they were going to be prohibiting public gatherings of anyone over 10 individuals. It was just in the governor's mind and in all of those leaders' minds, it was not going to be safe for poll workers or for voters to move forward with an in-person election. Now, obviously, the response to that was that we needed to find a way to conclude this election as quickly as possible, but also in a way that doesn't leave any Ohioans out. And that's been our focus. The state legislature passed a bill that would require this election be concluded next Tuesday, April 28th, and do it as a vote-by-mail election. We've been busy carrying that out to make sure that absolutely every Ohioan has the chance to participate in this election. And we're seeing some really positive things from our county boards of elections and from voters who are responding to that. As you said at the beginning of the question, life looks different in Ohio. Life looks different around the world right now. But one thing that'll never change, one thing that is timeless, is that your voice matters and your vote will be counted. And so every Ohioan who hasn't already should participate in this election.
And we're going to get into the process of mail-in voting, what it looks like, what voters who have not obtained a ballot and want to send their ballot in should be doing right now. We also want to hear from listeners. So give us a call. 513-419-7100 is the number to join our conversation. We are joined live on the line by Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Secretary, are you watching what has happened in other states as it relates to voting? I think Wisconsin was a pretty significant case study in in-person voting during the coronavirus pandemic. What were your thoughts on that situation?
You know, I have been and continue to be. In fact, I was just on the phone with the Colorado Secretary of State, and I talk with the elections officials in other states quite a bit. Also, on March 17th, there were other states that went ahead and moved forward conducting their election. Florida did, Illinois did, Arizona did. And I don't second-guess those decisions made by those state elections officials and public health officials. What I know is that the determination was made that you couldn't ask Ohioans. We didn't want to ask Ohioans to choose between their health and their fundamental rights to cast a ballot. And so, you know, what we did in Ohio was difficult, but necessary. You know, what happened in Wisconsin, in many ways, I think was unfortunate. I mean, I think you saw people having to come out and line up in long lines, and you saw poll workers and voters being put in jeopardy in some cases, and that's not acceptable in my mind. What we're doing in Ohio is making sure that, again, everybody can cast a ballot. And there also have been steps taken to make sure that special groups of Ohioans that may not be able to vote by mail, such as disabled Ohioans and homeless Ohioans, those are the two groups that are going to be allowed to vote in person on the 28th, obviously very limited and only at the County Board of Elections for those homeless Ohioans and Ohioans with disabilities. But for the rest of us, it's going to be a vote-by-mail election. It's safe and secure. It's convenient. And if there's a silver lining that comes out of this, I hope that more Ohioans learn how to vote by mail and embrace it, because it's something that Ohio has had for close to 20 years. Both Republican and Democratic Ohioans have taken advantage of it and find it to be a convenient way to cast your ballot.
And that's something I'd like to ask you about, too, because mail-in voting has become a bit of a national conversation, particularly driven by the president, as he's addressed questions whether in November there should be a national mail-in vote for those elections that happen in the fall. What is your message to skeptics of mail-in voting if other states were to adopt this move, if we still need to be participating in social distancing activities as late as the November election?
Well, first and foremost, my hope is that we're back to normal soon. That my hope is that this November we're back to giving handshakes and hugs and high fives and going out to our polling locations and doing all those things that we love. We certainly have to be ready for the possibility that that is not the case, and that's something that we are going to be ready for. Ohio certainly will be ready. As it relates to national efforts on this, I think it's important to understand that elections are really run at the state level. We embrace and appreciate the support that we receive from the federal government, for example, from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, who's been a great partner on combating disinformation and combating cybercrime and that kind of thing. We've received great support from federal funding recently, and that's much appreciated. What we don't want to see, in my opinion anyway, is federal mandates telling states how to run their elections or for example, telling states that they must run an all vote-by-mail election. I can tell you that in Ohio, we do vote-by-mail well. Not every state is positioned to do that. We have, again, decades of history of this in Ohio, and even in a normal election year, close to 25% of Ohio's ballots are conducted as a vote-by-mail election. And as I said, that's been embraced by both Republicans and Democrats because Ohioans have come to trust it. What they realize is that the right safeguards are in place to prevent fraud. To be very clear, election fraud is exceedingly rare, but we work to keep it rare, right, by putting the right procedures in place to make sure that people can trust their election. The ideal is when you go to bed on election night, the winners know they won and the losers know they lost, and every voter has a high level of confidence that it was a fair contest. And the way that Ohio does vote by mail allows that. That's not necessarily the case in every state where they don't have all of the safeguards that we have. For example, you know, in Ohio, we maintain the accuracy of our voter rolls. This shouldn't be controversial. Unfortunately, some have made a political issue out of it. But the simple matter is we remove deceased voters from the voter rolls in Ohio. The simple matter is when people move out of state, we work to remove those registrations from the rolls. We also prohibit in Ohio and have always prohibited, as far back as anybody can tell, this procedure that has been called ballot harvesting in some places. It has led to legitimate concern. Certainly in recent years, there was a case in North Carolina where there was a there was election fraud occurring as a result of that. That's never been allowed in Ohio. In Ohio, the only person that can take your ballot to the Board of Elections would be your postal carrier, or you yourself, or a family member. And so this idea of somebody being able to go door to door and collect up ballots, that's prohibited in Ohio. And that's just another reason why people can trust vote by mail. Also in Ohio, you can track your ballot just like you track a package you order online. So once you request your absentee ballot, you can go to VoteOhio.gov. That's the official Ohio Secretary of State website. You know when your ballot's going to arrive in your mailbox. And then once you have voted and mailed it back in using the postage paid envelope that Ohio provides, you can track it all the way to your Board of Elections. And so you know it was received, and you know that your voice will be heard and your vote will be counted. Because of these type of things that Ohio has done, vote by mail is trustworthy in Ohio, and it's accepted by both Republicans and Democrats.
And we're talking with Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Secretary LaRose, I want to emphasize something that you said there, that voter fraud is exceedingly rare in this mail-in process. Can you expand upon that and talk about what it means to be exceedingly rare in this particular process?
Yeah, so, I mean, all evidence points to that it's a fraction of a percent when it occurs. We refer it for prosecution. This is not something we take lightly. We don't tolerate voter fraud. But again, the good news is it's rare. And one of the reasons is it is rare is because the penalties are severe. If you try to engage in a criminal activity like that, you will be prosecuted for it. And again, the vast majority of Ohioans, the vast majority of people simply want to make their voice heard. They want to do it in a convenient way. And for those that have bad intentions, we have procedures to catch those and, again, to prosecute for it when it happens.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation with Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose. If you have questions about the mail-in process for voting in next Tuesday's election, or if you have any concerns that you'd like to raise with the secretary. So let's talk about how it's going so far. What has the response been?
So first of all, we had about 500,000 people that voted in the early voting period. Remember that Ohio has 4 weeks of early voting, both in person and vote by mail. And so in the weeks leading up to March 16th, 500,000 out of Ohio's 7.8 million registered voters had already voted. And those Ohioans should be reassured. Your ballot is under double lock and key at your county board of elections. Your vote will be counted next Tuesday evening on April 28th. And I say double lock and key. A lot of people don't realize this is just another one of those security procedures that exists. The boards of elections are completely bipartisan. Everything they do is overseen by members of both parties. And there's a Republican lock and a Democratic lock on that door. It's kind of like those old submarine movies from the 1980s where it takes two keys to launch the torpedo. Well, it takes two keys to get into the room where the ballots are stored. And so you can be confident that your voice will be heard when those tabulations are done next Tuesday. Now, as far as the requests that we've received, and these are numbers as of this morning, close to 1.2 million, 1,396,000 ballots have been requested by mail. Of those, over a million just under 1,975,000 have been cast. And so part of the reminder that we're trying to get out to every Ohioan is if you've requested your ballot and if it's sitting there on your kitchen table or on your counter, please make sure that you fill it out and mail it in. Don't delay. For those that have not yet requested their ballot, there's still time to do so, but you have to act quickly. Remember, it's going to take a couple days for the mail to process that and for the Board of Elections to get your ballot to you. So if you haven't requested your ballot, there's still time to do it. And it's not surprising. The numbers aren't as high as I'd like them to be, but also remember the presidential contest has gotten a little bit less interesting. That presidential primary has largely shaken out over the last couple of weeks. Ohioans, though, should remember, as much as we all pay attention to the presidential race and it matters who lives in the White House, what matters just as much is who works at the courthouse or who works at the schoolhouse or who works at the statehouse. And those are the decisions that are still yet to be made in this primary, as well as local issues. I know there are tax levies and school levies and transportation district questions and all kinds of things that voters still need to decide. And so nobody should sit this election out.
Now, that's a good point that you raised. Back on March 17th, the Democratic primary for president still would have been somewhat interesting, if I recall correctly. And that has pretty much fizzled by the time that voters come here. That probably would have been quite a driver to get people out to the polls, I want to note a headline in the Columbus Dispatch that came out Tuesday. They refer to this as the coronavirus primary, and they say turnout looks paltry. Would you characterize the turnout as paltry?
You know, I won't rest until there's 100% voter turnout. I've said that all along. I want to see every Ohioan make their voice heard. And so it's not as high as I'd like it to be, certainly. But it also is in line with sort of what you would expect in a presidential primary year, again, when that top of the ticket race has largely shaken out. My one regret about that article that ran not only the Dispatch but in other places is I wish they'd included right there in the article how to make it not paltry, right? I wish they'd included right there in the article how voters can still request their vote by mail ballot. And again, there's two simple ways to do that. You go to VoteOhio.gov and you can print the request and mail it in. Or if you don't have a printer, you can actually just make your own form. And this is us just trying to make sure that we're working with everybody to get their request. And if you just have a piece of paper and a pen, you can get instructions at VoteOhio.gov/make-your-own, VoteOhio.gov/make-your-own. And if you just take a few minutes to basically just write a note to your county board of elections and you include your name and your address and which party's ballot you want and make it clear that you're requesting for the Ohio primary and that, you know, that you put in the correct identification. You have to put in either your last four of your Social Security number or your state driver's license, or if you don't want to share one of those numbers, you have to include one of the other acceptable forms of ID. If you do all of that and mail it in today, your Board of Elections will get it. They'll process your request, and they'll mail you a ballot right away. And so we do want everybody to still take advantage of that.
Secretary LaRose, I think we've got a caller on the line who has a question right about that topic. So let's bring on Aaron. Hi, Aaron. Your question for Secretary LaRose.
Hello. After the election was delayed, or at least the vote-in election date was delayed, my family and I requested ballots, or actually an application to receive a ballot. So it's kind of this middleman sort of thing going on that we were concerned about, because when we received our application to receive a ballot, it didn't have prepaid postage. And so I guess I'm a little bit concerned about disenfranchisement in regards to people who don't have printers yet, but even if you just call in to request one, there's not prepaid postage on these envelopes where they can actually send in the ballot applications and then receive the real ballot and then return that ballot.
Aaron?
So as I understand it, the actual ballot has prepaid postage, but the request for an application for one does not. So that's concerning to me and my family.
Aaron, thank you for the call. We'll hang up and we'll let Secretary LaRose address that question. Secretary.
Aaron, thank you for that question. And you know what? That was exactly my concern as well. I had proposed to the state legislature that they allow me the opportunity to send out an absentee ballot request to every voter and to include a postage paid return envelope. Unfortunately, that was not what they decided to do. And so what we're trying to do is make sure that we go to absolutely every length we can to make sure that people still have the opportunity to get that done. Now, going forward into the future, I would like to see, and I've proposed this as far back as 5 years ago, I would like to see that request be available online where you can simply make the request online without having to print something off and mail it in. Currently, you have to print something off or make your own request form or have one sent to you, and then you still have to put a wet ink signature on it. You have to put a stamp on it, and you have to mail it in. I think that in the year 2020, we should just be able to accept and process those requests online. But again, you know, my proposal to the legislature was that we would have included those postage paid return envelopes with every absentee ballot request. Unfortunately, the legislature did not authorize me to do so. At this point, if you don't have postage and you can't get a hold of postage, one alternative that you have is that every county board of elections has been directed, and they all have these now, to make a secure drop box available. And so, if you can drive or catch the bus down to the Board of Elections, you can still submit. If you don't have that postage stamp, you can submit your absentee ballot request by just taking it down and dropping it in that secure drop box. But I recognize that that's a burden, and that was a concern I had as well.
Secretary LaRose, I do want to ask some questions about COVID-19 related processing of the votes. And from a manual perspective, I want to get another caller in before we move into that section. Martha's on the line. Hi, Martha. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. Can you hear me right now?
We sure can, Martha. Please go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, the first comment I have is that I've been frustrated trying to go through this process online because it requires me to print and I don't have a printer. And it, you know, to print it out, it requires going to Staples and spending money, et cetera, et cetera. So I am certainly in favor of a process that allows the entire request to be completed online. But my question has to do with my two daughters who are home from college and myself. I moved just as the COVID-19 lockdown was going in place, and so essentially all three of us are now living at an address that does not match the address that was most recently on file for our voter registration. Is that an issue in any way, or should we just use the new address for our request forms?
Okay, Martha, we appreciate the call. We'll hang up and address those questions to Secretary LaRose. Secretary LaRose, Martha's question is basically twofold. One, no access to a printer. And two, she and her two daughters now live in an address that's different from where they were previously registered. That happened after the original scheduled primary date. So is there an issue there?
Yeah, Martha, great questions. And thank you for being an informed voter. And thank you for being a great example to your daughters about the importance of civic engagement. So let me address the first one. Again, the concern about not every Ohioan having access to a printer is one that I shared. One of the things that we've done to address that, again, is allow people to just make their own forms. There's nothing that says that it has to be some official government form. As long as you provide all the right information, we can go ahead and process that request. That's why we built the website, voteohio.gov/makeyourown. And again, with just a plain white piece of paper and a pen, you can make your own absentee ballot request as long as you provide all the information that is necessary. And again, all that information is at voteohio.gov/makeyourown. We also included that on the 7.8 million postcards that the legislature directed me to send out. We put on there the instructions for how to make your own, and that was an intentional effort. We've also partnered with over 130 organizations from really both sides of the aisle, all political perspectives, everything from the A. Philip Randolph Institute and the NAACP and the Urban League to the Chambers of Commerce, ideological groups like the environmental groups and the Right to Life groups, and all kinds of different groups are all trying to mail out those requests to their supporters. We've also worked with newspapers that have actually printed the request form right there in the pages of their newspaper. And this idea started with the Call and Post newspaper in Cleveland. I know that Cincinnati area newspapers have done it as well, and they've made that available, and that's a great thing. We've also worked with grocery stores, including Cincinnati-based Kroger Company, but the entire Ohio Association of Grocers is making them available at the grocery store if you need an absentee ballot request form. And the food banks, every bag of groceries they pass out should have an absentee ballot request form right there in it. And that's something that we've worked with the Association of Food Banks to do. Even some creative ideas. A guy in Wayne County was using his remote-controlled drone and filled a Ziploc bag full of absentee ballot requests and was flying them around and dropping them off at his neighbor's houses using his drone. So we're really trying to do everything we can to make sure that everybody gets that absentee ballot request form. Again, at this point, if you have a friend that doesn't have a printer, go to voteohio.gov/makeyourown, and that's the best way to do it. Regarding the change of address situation, I'm in the same boat, and many of us are. Unfortunately, Ohio's voter registration deadline laid out in our Constitution says 30 days before the election is when that change of address and voter registration window closes. And so the address that you were registered at way back in February is the address that you'll be voting at. Now, if you submit a new voter registration form or a change of address, that'll take effect after this election and certainly be in effect for future elections. But the registration you had 30 days before March 17th is the one that is still in effect, and that's the address you'll be voting at.
And again, we're talking with Secretary Frank LaRose. I know we've kept you longer than we expected. I want to get a few comments in from our social media. Some people are quite pleased with the process so far. We've got a comment from Virginia Negengard, who says, first time to vote by mail worked fine, and I know it was received. Andrew Steinberg wrote to us, voting by mail is great. I have voted by mail for some elections since 1988. I voted by mail already for the Ohio primary election, and it went fine, just like the many times I have done in the past. Wanda Nichols wrote to us, received my ballot about 9 days after I sent him the app. I guess that's application, decided to take advantage of a nice day and drove to Norwood to the Board of Elections and put it in the drop box, no touch, and an excuse to get out. And we've got some comments that have some concerns about the way that it's going. Diana Opoku wrote, "Nope, I sent my request off the 1st of April, received my ballot a week later." Oh, this is actually a positive comment. "Sent it back out the next day. Easy peasy for me. Yeah, Butler County." Karen Kreutz wrote us that she's not received the ballot after mailing an application a few weeks ago. You can read more comments at 91.7 WVXU's Facebook page. And before we break here, Secretary LaRose, just what precautions are being taken as it relates to the coronavirus and any workers who might be coming into contact with these papers? Is there extra precaution being taken either through social distancing or protective gear as people are handling these materials?
Yeah, really quickly, Michael, glad to hear the positive comments. And hopefully this starts a new habit for folks. Vote by mail is something that is a part of the way we do elections in Ohio routinely, even when we're not in the midst of a pandemic. And so my hope is that more and more people take advantage of it once they realize how safe and secure and convenient it is. For your one listener who has not received her absentee ballot yet, that's concerning. Please call your Board of Elections or email us info@ohiosos.gov so we can resolve that, because the clock is ticking. And for that one listener who has not gotten hers, we need to make sure that she does. As far as personal protective gear, we've made funding available, and in some cases, we've actually been delivering masks and gloves to the Boards of Elections. The good news is the public health professionals and the U.S. Postal Service say that it is incredibly unlikely that the virus would be transmitted via mail, but obviously we're taking every precaution. And those Boards of Elections, just like our grocery store workers and our first responders and our healthcare workers and all these other truck drivers and great folks that are out there still serving, they're on the front lines of making sure that you can have a safe and a fair election. And they're working under difficult circumstances, having to abide by the same social distancing and that kind of thing. And so our hats are off to them for the work that our county Boards of Elections are doing. And then certainly for that April 28th, when we're going to have that limited in-person for both homeless and disabled Ohioans, great precautions are being taken to make sure that that is a safe experience for both the poll workers and the voters as well. And that includes sanitizing equipment and personal protective gear for those poll workers.
Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose, we so appreciate the time that you gave us and for coming on the program again. It's always nice to talk to you. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you so much for the chance. Hope everybody makes their voice heard. VoteOhio.gov is the place to start.
Thank you for joining us. And we will continue to take calls at 513-419-7100. We will be talking more about the mail-in process for Tuesday's deadline here in the Ohio primary. We'll be joined by representatives from the League of Women Voters in Ohio and the A. Philip Randolph Institute next. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our look at next Tuesday's Ohio primary mail-in ballot election. And joining us now, our League of Women Voters of Ohio Executive Director, Jen Miller. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have the president of the Ohio A. Philip Randolph Institute, Andre Washington. Andre, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you, and thanks for having us back on the show. We appreciate you.
It's our pleasure to have you back. And to our listeners, give us a call and join our conversation about the process, how you feel about it, and the changes, and whether you've adjusted. 513-419-7100. We do have some callers on the line. We'll get to them in just a moment. Jen, let's start with you, and then I'll ask the same question to Andre. We are starting all of our interviews in the age of COVID-19 with this very simple question. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you so much. I'm blessed to be well, and I'm hoping all of you and the radio station, as well as all the listeners, are well as well.
It's a little lonely here in the station these days, just a few of us in person, but we're holding up all right. Glad to hear you are too. Andre, you're doing well also?
I'm doing great. I'm practicing social distancing. I'm staying at home. I'm a little bored. My son moved out last year, and I didn't realize how much I appreciated having somebody in the house with me. But I'm doing good.
Well, that's great to hear.
If my son is listening, I welcome him back home.
I'm sure he'd love to hear that. Okay, Jen.
Call your dad.
Let's get down to business. Obviously, significant change in the way Ohioans are voting, although it's a process that many voters in Ohio are familiar with. It was a bit of an abrupt change in the way a lot of people had intended to vote. Jen, talk about your feelings about the way the election shifted from March 17th to next Tuesday, April 28th, and the process by which people will be voting this time.
Sure. So first off, we were really concerned at the League about people's health and safety, and we certainly didn't like how all of the kind of roller coaster of decision making was done, but we agreed with the concept that the polls just could not be opened on March 17th. And so I think, you know, there's definitely things that we need to learn in the long term so that we're now in the age of superbugs and climate change, right, where we need to be ready to handle emergency situations in just a better way. So that's one thing. The other I would just say is it is true that our vote by mail system has been around for a long time. It is true that it's not really subject to fraud. I would say, though, let me just mention that the League actually supported and helped draft the no excuse absentee process that is adopted by mail, you know, that we are using now basically on steroids. But there are a lot of challenges with the system and challenges that even Secretary LaRose had mentioned that a lot of us have seen for a long time. And so while it is working well for some voters, there are other voters who are really struggling with this process. And that's deeply concerning because every election matters.
Andre, who is president of the Ohio A. Philip Randolph Institute, Andre Washington, are you concerned about the process at all?
I am concerned. I just want to piggyback on what Jen said that, because of COVID-19, we understand why the state had to do what they had to do. Our concerns are, one, waiting 12 hours before the election and canceling or postponing it has been a big concern in the communities that we serve. And the vote by mail has been around. It's always been an option. It has always been on the menu, but it has always been the least chosen item that has been on the menu. And in our community, we have to change the mind frame, the culture of people, especially when it comes to our older generation. Our older generation is used to going in on Tuesday, casting that ballot. Now, we have to change the entire mind frame. We have to change the culture that we have right now. And people have to, and if this is going to be the norm in November, we got to do a whole lot of educating in the community. When they postponed the election, it gave us less than 30 days to try to educate the African-American community that this is not the norm.
Jen Miller is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Ohio. Jen, your organization and the A. Philip Randolph Institute was part of some legal action that was taken. It doesn't look like that was successful. Can you tell us a little bit about what that lawsuit was?
No, so we were not successful, and I know that we have callers on the line who have real logistical questions, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it now. But we were basically arguing multiple facts. The first is that April 28th is just a very difficult date for boards of elections and voters. And the Secretary of State, the Association of Election Officials, as well as APRI and League of Women Voters and other voting rights groups, all expressed concerns to the legislature that it would be extremely difficult to blink our eyes and in a month's time or less have an entirely vote-by-mail election. And so some of this was just sheerly about the process and really trying to defend voters in this process. So what I'll say is this. The court ultimately actually did in many ways agree with us in terms of our voter concerns, but kind of also heard from, you know, the Libertarian Party, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the state of Ohio, the Secretary of State, and everyone had kind of different ideas as to how to handle it, and I think the court just decided to kind of punt. But I think what's super important now is to do everything we can to serve voters today and for the next week. And then we need not just to be educating voters on this process, but there are major policy changes that need to happen before another election occurs in Ohio, possibly during COVID-19. So there's an August 4th special election, and of course, there's the November general.
We're joined on the phone by the League of Women Voters of Ohio Executive Director Jen Miller and the president of the Ohio A. Philip Randolph Institute, Andre Washington. And you too can join Cincinnati Edition now at 513-419-7100. Let's go back to the phones. We have Marianne on the line. Hi, Marianne. What's your question or comment?
Hello. I tuned in a little bit late, so I apologize if Secretary LaRose mentioned this, but I didn't hear him say it. People should know that you can just call your county board of elections. I live in Warren County, and request an absentee ballot. You don't even if you know if you don't have a printer, you don't have to make your own at the website. Your own request. You can just call your local county board.
Well, that's good advice, Marianne.
It's not exactly correct. So you cannot actually call and request your ballot. You can call and request your ballot application, which they would then mail to you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I appreciate it, Marianne.
I've been doing it for years. Usually I can do it online, but a couple times my printer's been on the fritz. So I just call, and I get it the next day.
Marianne, we appreciate the call. We'll hang up and let Jen continue. Thank you, Marianne.
Yeah, Marianne, it's a super good point. It's a very important point. The bottom line, though, is if you're in Warren County and you call the Board of Elections, you're not likely to get your application the next day this round. And the reason is because there's so many more individuals requesting applications and ballots that the turnaround time is much longer for boards of elections. Also, boards of elections have altered the way they're working because they can't actually social distance. And so they're working in shifts. They're doing a lot of things are very different. And so that efficient turnaround, if you are a longtime vote by mail voter, you will even find that this process is taking longer. So let's keep in mind that the mail process is 3 to 5 days one way, typically, within a county, and that's no non-COVID conditions. And the reason is because there's not many mail sorting facilities in Ohio. And so usually your mail is actually going to leave the county, go to a sorting facility, and then come back to your county. That is taking longer under COVID conditions.
Does the postmark date matter in this election, Jen?
Yes. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So, and I'll get to that. So I want to, at this point, if someone were to call their Board of Elections, they could do that and request an application to be sent to them, but they very well may run out of time. So I agree with Secretary LaRose, who was suggesting that you print one out and mail it in, or that you write all the required fields, which he has listed on his website, on a piece of paper and mail that in. There's really not time to be requesting the Board of Election to send one to you, because that's if it's 3 to 5 days for that, and then 3 to 5 days for you to send that back in, and 3 to 5 days for them to send you the ballot, you're just not going to make that deadline. The postmark deadline for your ballot is April 27th. You can hand deliver, or not really hand deliver, but drop off in the drop boxes your ballot by April 28th. One of the biggest confusions that we're hearing is people think if they postmark it by the 28th, it's going to count. It does not. So that's why we need to be careful when we say Election Day is April 28th. Really, for most of us that are not going to be driving and personally dropping off our ballot to the Board of Elections, our Election Day is April 27th at the latest.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Ohio's primary election next Tuesday is now all mail in. Let's continue now with League of Women Voters of Ohio Executive Director Jen Miller. Jen, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And President of the Ohio A. Philip Randolph Institute, Andre Washington. Andre, our thanks to you as well.
Thanks.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation. We'll spend the last 8 or 9 minutes we have together trying to address as many questions or concerns that we can. We'll go to the phone lines now with Jody. Hi, Jody. What's your question or comment?
I have a comment. When I first heard that the election date had been moved back to April, within 2 days, I went online and I applied for an application, which came promptly. Okay, when I filled out the application, there was absolutely no information about where to mail it. And I still have that application because I held on to it. I did get an application from Kroger. I sent that off. I got my ballot. I am not distrustful of the election or any of the elections as a rule. However, this to me really felt like voter suppression.
Where did the original application come from, Jody?
From the state of Ohio.
Okay. Andre?
But no information on that as far as what to do with it.
Andre, have you heard anything like this?
Yes. I've been talking to people in all four corners of the state. I know in Akron, people have been talking about how they haven't gotten information, or if they filled out the absentee ballot request form, they would get a letter back saying they didn't do this, they didn't do that. I had one lady call and say that she's been knowing her Social Security number by heart for over 50 years, and she's been voting for over 60 years, and they told her Social Security number was wrong. In the Valley, the Mahoney Valley, Warren and Youngstown area, I've been hearing things like they didn't receive the proper information, the postcards from the Secretary of State. In the Cleveland area, same thing, similar stories to what Jody just said. Jody, I appreciate the information. I would love, because right now we're collecting data on information like you just got, Jody, so that we can work with the Board of Elections to help improve this if this becomes the norm in November. So if we could somehow connect with Jody offline so we can get that information so that we don't have another Jody in November.
I was just going to throw out there real quick.
Sure, Jen, go ahead.
So on the Secretary of State site, when you get that application, what makes that hard is that that is an application for the entire state, and each voter needs to send it to their county board of election. If you get one, right, exactly. And so it goes back to Andre's initial point, is that, I just spoke to someone who has a master's degree who thought she had filled out the entire thing online, right? And she had just typed everything in, not realizing that she still had to print that out and mail it in. It is very, 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 very easy to not understand this process. And at the end of the day, confusion is the enemy of turnout and response. And so we are super concerned. I don't think that this was an intention on the Secretary of State site. It's just, again, it goes back to the point that we've made before. About 85% of voters wait until Election Day to cast their ballot in person, typically. And so we are now trying to take this really clunky, confusing, and inefficient system and put it on steroids. And it's hard for boards of elections and voters alike.
Okay, so Jody, before we let you go, Andre, is your contact information on the A. Philip Randolph Institute website?
Yes. If you don't mind, can I give it right now?
Sure, go ahead. Jody, write it down.
Jody, you can email me.
That will give you my information.
Well, Jody, why don't you just you just take Andre's and then reach Andre, and you guys can connect that way.
Okay, that sounds
good. I think an easy thing to do, and Andre and I both get this. There's one easy thing instead of trying to do an email address over the 866-OUR-VOTE. 866-OUR-VOTE is a nonpartisan hotline, and Andre and I both get that information. And someone, either one of from our organizations or a partner organization, will follow up with anyone who calls with questions or problems. 866-OUR-VOTE.
There you go, Jody. We so appreciate the call.
.com.net.
It's a phone number. 866-OUR-VOTE.
Oh, it's a phone number.
866-OUR-VOTE.
Okay.
Yes. Jody, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. I want to get a couple more calls in the last 5 minutes that we've got together. We'll go now to Allison. Hi, Allison. What's your question or comment?
Question is, what I should do, I'm another one who didn't have a ballot. I received the card from the Board of Elections. I looked up the address. I sent it over to Norwood, and I haven't gotten the ballot. This was way back in the end of March.
Okay,
so Allison, we're hearing this every. I hear this. I'm personally getting phone calls every hour, and so are all of our staff. So are all of our allies. So are Andre.
My question
that
is, should
are
I
not getting their ballot? Yeah, I would call the Board of Elections.
I did. They were just taking messages. I left messages twice, and I haven't heard anything back from them.
Okay, so you can try to apply again. Yeah, go ahead and try to apply again. But also, Allison, also call the 866 hour vote so we can try to help you track this down. Okay.
Of your last caller, yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
There you go, Allison. 866 hour vote is the way to follow up with Andre and Jen. Both of them received those messages. We'll take one last call here. We have Sally on the line. Hi, Sally. What's your question or comment?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, my comment is that I don't think it's been extremely confusing. I think there have been a lot of opportunities to get the ballots to myself. I was out of printer ink, so I just wrote it down on the paper, sent it in, got it back within time. People on April 22nd, in the middle of a pandemic, who are just complaining about this, if they really, I'm sorry to say this, but if they really had wanted to vote, they would have done something about it earlier and taken advantage of what the state of Ohio provided us with to get it done. I know my own son last night said to me, well, is it too late to get a ballot? And I said, you know, if you've waited this long, how badly did you want to vote? So that's my comment.
Sally, thank you so much for the call. We do appreciate all perspectives. Thank you for calling. But we do want to reiterate in the last minute or so that we have together, Jen and Andre, it's not too late.
No, it's not too late. And the bottom line is that we love it when it works. But it's not working. The problems are widespread. And so both of those things can be true at the same time. And we can learn from those that it works for. And it should not be punitive for someone that it's April 22nd and they're still trying to figure out this system. We are hearing from people of all ages, all 88 counties, all education levels, that they're having problems. And often through no fault of their own, that literally just the mail. It's supposedly their ballot was in the mail for a week and a half, and they still haven't received it. That's not their fault, we will continue to do everything we can to serve voters today and in the future, and I'm just thankful to have that you had us on.
It is purely anecdotal, but according to the comments on our Facebook thread that we started so that we could use some comments on our show, it was mostly a positive experience, but there are a few people who had some difficulties. So, Andre, let me just ask you in the last 30 seconds we have, if you're Sally's son and you're wondering if it's too late, what's the first thing that person needs to do right now if they want to vote?
They need to download a ballot, absentee ballot request form, send it in immediately, and when they get their their ballot, they need to drop it off at their local Board of Elections immediately so that their vote is cast and counted on Election Day. You said I have 30 seconds, or I have 20 seconds left?
You've got 15 left.
15 seconds left. We're going to have to, I said earlier, educate, motivate, and activate and establish trust in this new norm that we have in voting by mail, and not just in the African-American communities, but all over the great state of Ohio. Thank you.
Andre Washington is the president of the Ohio A. Philip Randolph Institute, and Jen Miller is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Ohio. Thanks to both of you. I hope we get to do a debriefing at some point after this election and ahead of the election in the fall. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having us.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU, archives online, wvxu.org. I'm Michael Monks.